Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, March 12th. I'm Ray Graff. The focus of today's program is plumbing. Whether you're about to embark on a major overhaul or you're just trying to fix a leaky faucet, it's easy to get in over your head when it comes to plumbing projects, and I speak from experience there. Here in the studio today to help us out is Alan Ayers. He is the vice president of Christofulli Brothers, which provides plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation, service, and maintenance. If you have a plumbing question, now's the time to call 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers and your plumbing calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Plumbing, maintenance, and repairs on today's program, and in the studio to answer your questions is Alan Ayers, vice president of Christofulli Brothers. For 80 years, Christofulli Brothers has provided plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation service, and maintenance to the Capital Region. The New York State Certified Women's Business Enterprise has been voted the best of the region each year since 2007, as well as a top workplace in 2018. If you have a plumbing question, great time to call is right now before it gets too crowded. There are still some open lines. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, and I would advise calling early, 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Appreciate
it.
Come a little closer to the microphone. This is your first time on the program, yeah?
Yes, it is the first time.
So what we do basically is we'll take calls and people will call with their plumbing questions and you'll try to answer them.
Fantastic.
Easy, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Christofulli Brothers has been around a long time.
80 years this year.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And, you see the vans all over the place in this area. And I was a little taken aback in the introduction here. It's New York State Certified Women's Business Enterprise.
That's
correct. Where do the brothers fit in?
The brothers, interestingly enough, comes from the founder's children. He named the company originally after his three sons.
Oh,
the brothers.
Darned. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we had a couple of emails come in over the past hour or so. And so we'll start with those and then we'll jump on the phones here and it will be a busy program. This one came in via email from Kay. And Kay writes, we have new ceiling stains on the white ceiling of a first floor room. The stains are under a half bath, which was put in 25 years ago. There's also a little staining on the sidewall, also internal, that connects about 1.5 feet to the side of the ceiling stain. Could this be a bad toilet seal above? If so, how do we check it and fix it?
It definitely could be a bad toilet seal from above. And the way to check that would be to flush the toilet and monitor the leak subsequent maybe day or two.
Yeah.
Not using the bathroom in between your test and looking for additional, leak spot getting larger. More times than not, we've found that it's typically a tile grout issue and not so much a toilet issue.
Interesting.
I would say actually 50-50.
Okay.
About 50% of the time, there's a tile grout issue versus an actual plumbing issue.
But the wax rings will eventually go on a toilet,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
And what's the life expectancy of the old-style wax ring?
The old-style beeswax rings probably last 15 years or so without any problems, so depending on use and how much it's... the toilet itself is pushed around.
The good news is that's a fairly easy job.
Yeah, for sure. Homeowners typically, if they're a little handy, can tackle that themselves.
It's not the most neat job, but it's certainly not the messiest plumbing job that I'm sure you guys have to do.
No, definitely not.
This email came in from Ray in the Adirondacks. Ray writes, I have a newer home that used S-traps rather than P-traps on the kitchen sink and two bathrooms. The two baths drain slowly and gurgle, and the kitchen gurgles. Does this installation meet New York plumbing codes?
Well, New York State is pretty interesting about their plumbing codes. They pass down ultimate decision to the municipality. So depending on what town you're in from one city to the next, you'd want to consult with their local building department,
right,
or building inspector, rather than the state code. From my experience, a S-trap will not drain as proficiently as one that's vented above the weir of the trap.
Okay.
If you can envision maybe a 2-liter bottle of soda,
mm-hmm.
and when you tip that upside down too far and no air gets in the outlet,
yeah,
it does that chugging, gurgling.
Yeah.
And that's very much what's happening in those bathrooms.
And then Ray adds, what's the best way to add venting? Is the venting device in the wall allowable?
It is, actually. It's called an air admittance valve.
Mm-hmm.
Brand name is Studer, so a lot of people refer to it. A lot of plumbers
Studer
refer
valve.
To it. Right, exactly. A Studer
right.
vent. And
yeah.
it's a plastic fitting that allows air in but not air out.
Yeah.
So as the sink is draining, it's allowing sufficient air to break that vacuum.
So that may do the job. That
For
might
sure.
help his
yep.
situation. All right, let's jump on the phones now. Alan. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Plumbing Today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And our friend Bonnie in Sharon, Connecticut has been waiting a while. Bonnie, you're first.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband, well, actually, I impulsively purchased a washer dryer about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Problem was, we never had a washer dryer. So we had to figure out where to put it. And then we had to do the plumbing to make it, you know, connected to the right things.
Yeah.
So my husband did the plumbing, as far as I understand it. But I think I remember reading somewhere that a washer should also have nearby something like a floor drain in case there is a spillover if the washer, you know, overfills. And I'm very sure that my husband has not planned for a floor drain.
Oh, boy.
So enlighten me.
Hi, Bonnie. Thank
oh,
you so
and
much.
By the way, this is not on a basement level. This is on a wooden floor situation.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay, Bonnie. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. And also, I would agree it's good common practice to have a drain nearby. I'm not too sure what your local codes are. They vary right. state to state. But I know locally the new codes that have passed in the past few years mandate that a pan is placed underneath the washing
That's
machine.
That's what I saw advertised, a pan.
Yeah, the pan goes underneath the washing machine, and
right.
then it's piped to a drain or maybe somewhere safe, even if it's piped into the basement near a sump pump or something so that you have some protection from your you know, from your belongings and damage to your wood floor.
Okay.
So I would suggest, and you could do that relatively easy if your husband was handy enough to do the
oh,
plumbing.
Oh, yeah.
are you
disgustingly is handy.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, he should be able to tackle that one with no problems.
All right. So what is that drain called, though?
I think you can get
it. It's not, you know, he can't walk into a Home Depot and say, give me a blip, blip, blip.
He very well may be able to. I think
really?
If you were to ask your local hardware store or box store for a washing machine drain pan.
Ah.
They're fairly standard.
All right, fair enough.
All right. So all he needs to know is the size of the washer and then bingo.
Yep, bingo.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good one. 800-348-2551 is the number. Plumbing Today, Alan Ayers of Chris Afully Brothers is here to answer your questions. Leo and Gardner, you're next.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a Delta faucet with a single joystick in the middle, and when we pull it back to shut it off, it's guided into a shut off position. But in that position, it drips a little bit, so we have to move it up and towards hot water just a little bit. And we replaced it, but it's still doing the same thing. And I'm wondering if we should put grease on it. There's some kind of special grease that they have to go between the little rubber donuts and the stainless steel ball.
Hi, Leo. I would definitely suggest putting plumber's grease on that joint. And if you take the handle off and rub some grease around the metal ball and the O-ring around that metal ball, put it back together, you're going to probably be in good shape.
Yeah, the reason that we didn't do that is because the local guru at the plumbing store said that if you use the grease, it will collect contaminants like cement particles that might come through.
True or not true, Alan Ayers?
Not true.
Right.
Not true?
Not true.
You going to be all right?
Yeah,
not
he's going to be.
True.
He's going to be just fine. The water doesn't get to that part typically if it's installed correctly.
If it does, you have a problem, yeah?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. Yep.
All right. Good luck, Leo.
Okay.
Thanks for the
call.
All
right. Thank you.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. Plumbing today on the program. Alan Ayers is here. Let's take one more before our first break. Mike in Gilderland. Mike, you're on.
Okay. Thanks for taking the call. Recently had my hot water heater replaced. You know, it had a lot of sediment. It just worn down at the bottom, so it started leaking. Yep, the replacement was fine, but afterwards I noticed a subtle decrease in my water pressure. And I'm wondering if that's something that could happen with the new water heater and if there's anything I can do about it to get the water pressure up a little bit.
Hi, Mike. A quick question. Have you noticed the decrease in water pressure in all the faucets, or maybe just the kitchen faucet or a lavatory faucet?
It doesn't seem to be in all of them, just some of them, you know, but it doesn't have to do with the level, like upstairs, the shower, and downstairs, the first level bathroom faucet, you know, definitely noticeable.
Okay. With that being said, my guess is that during the shut off and turn back on procedure of replacing the water heater, it stirred up some sediment, and that sediment went throughout the home and collected in the aerators or the screens that are at your faucets. And that's a really super easy fix.
Interesting.
If you were to
and what I did was for the lower, the first floor faucet, I bought a new aerator. And it didn't seem to do anything to the water pressure because I was thinking the exact same thing. But I don't know. It could be all in my head anyway. But anything else that I should be thinking about, you know, if it is indeed something that is throughout the whole household in terms of the lowered water pressure? I mean, is that something that happens when you replace a water heater or not?
Well, anytime you shut the water off to a building or home and turn it back on, you're going to stir up some sediment and any kind of debris that was in the water lines. One thing I would remind you that the water system is all one system in your home. So if it's not affecting every fixture, it's most likely an individual fixture
localized
problem.
Okay.
Right.
Well, good luck, Mike. We have to take a quick break here, but thank you for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Alan Ayers is our guest from Chris Afully Brothers. We talk plumbing on the program today. If you have a question, once again, 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's plumbing today on the program. Alan Ayers is here from Chris Afully Brothers. This one came in via email from Kevin in Greenfield. And Kevin writes, lately with our one and only one shower, we need to crank the handle to a bit beyond 9 o'clock to get hot water. As of 2 or 3 weeks ago, 11 o'clock was fine. No one has touched the settings on the water tank. What could be going on?
That is most likely setting behind the handle of your shower valve.
Really?
If you pull the screw off the face of the shower valve and pull the shower valve straight out, this will expose a dial, and it's called an anti-scald dial. And they send that with adjustable. They'll send that with the manufacturer or with the faucet so that you can adjust to your own personal settings.
Huh.
And it limits from going, you know, too hot.
That, I did not. And they all have that?
Most of them. Not all of them have that type of feature. They all have an anti-scald feature, but the one I'm speaking of is most common.
That's very interesting. Now, how would that change, though, if they've had this shower all this time and then it 2 weeks ago it was fine and now it's different?
The first thing I would check is that. Maybe the handle was loose. We didn't realize it was loose and it slipped off its original location and move back into a new location. Otherwise, I would check at the water heater.
Okay, which apparently is done. But anyway, all right, let's get back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Don in Scotia. Don, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. I am curious. I'm calling because I'm getting ready to install a radiant floor heat in a shop. And I just was curious.
Uh-oh.
I think the sub base, the insulation R value, and whether or not I should be putting maybe 3 to 4 inches of like masonry down over top of the insulation before I pour the slab. I'm going to probably go with about a 5-inch slab for heavy truck-type traffic. And also, if the tubing, I guess they're using the orange PEX tubing from what I can gather here. And is that what you would recommend, like a 1/2-inch orange PEX tubing? Or do they use, are there any other types of tubing that might work better? Let's start with that. I got other questions, but I don't want to tie up too much time here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don. I would suggest using a product from Uponor. That's Uponor. And they make, and it is orange or red in color, and it's about a 1/2-inch in diameter. But it's specifically made for radiant tubing under concrete slabs or sidewalks and so on and so forth. I would start with a sub-base that's very firm, so maybe crusher run or something like that. Build it up from there with 2-inch high-density foam. You can, you know, get that your building development. Put the tubing attached to wire mesh right on that 2-inch high density foam, and then pour concrete right over the top of that.
Oh,
and that'll okay. Definitely 5 inches of concrete.
I guess I was under the impression that the tubing should be right in the concrete.
I've seen it both in the concrete and beneath the concrete, and I'd prefer beneath the concrete, so if there's a problem, it's a little easier to fix. Plus, if you're going to build walls or anything else in your shop, you're going to want that tubing down lower. Having the 2-inch foam between the ground and what your the heated surface is most important. The heat will rise, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so I could have it. And I was thinking of the Mason sand type leveling material for ease of getting, screeding it off so it's perfectly flat so I can get the right amount of concrete. And then also for ever so slightly just mass of, mass that will heat up and help hold the heat better. Thermal mass type thing.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt. It's not necessary, but it's not going to hurt.
All right, Don, thanks for the call. Alan Ayers is our guest today from Chris Foley Brothers. It's Plumbing Today. That radiant floor heating seems like such a great idea, and it works really well. But what happens when there's a leak or there's a problem? I mean, then you have to literally break the cement to get through to it?
Yes.
That's absolutely an issue, man.
It's not as bad as you think. We've replaced many broken radiant tubings in people's basements with minimal damage. A little bit of interruption to their normal day routine, but really not all that bad. You peel the carpet back, protect the area, take care of what you got to take care
of,
put it all back together. It's not the end of the world.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And Michelle in Hudson, you're on.
Hi. I have an old home with deferred maintenance and lots of things need to be done. And I was going to attack the plumbing because it has poor water pressure and each bathroom has a different, I've got 4.5 bathrooms and each has its own little issues. And I'm wondering, I also need to have some kind of an air conditioning system put in. I'm wondering, is it more cost effective to just gut the whole house and pull out all the plumbing, or should I go room by room and address each issue individually?
That's a good question.
From a consumer cost perspective, it's much more economical to do the entire house at one time.
Really?
If you can get a crew in there for a week or two or three or whatever the case might be, it's a lot better than multiple visits over the next several months, for sure.
So then do I hire a specialist like you guys or to do the plumbing, or do I hire a contractor who does everything? I mean, I have no idea which direction to go.
I think that comes to personal preference, but if you were my sister, I would suggest that you hire a general contractor that can handle all of that for you, and that way you can just continue being a homeowner and let the construction workers do the construction work.
All right. Good luck with the farmhouse, Michelle. Our number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers is our guest. Alan is vice president of Chris Foley Brothers and micro tubing. this has interested me for years because we have we put window units in, air conditioner mm-hmm. units in, and I saw somewhere about these microtubes. Are they really effective?
I think you may be talking about high-velocity air conditioning.
Yeah, but it goes right in the wall, little tiny tubes that go into the wall.
Yeah, I'm not so familiar with that,
right? Really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have enough familiarity to...
Well, good. I stumped the band. This is good. All right, now let's go back to the phones. Over to Mike. Mike in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I've got a pump. I'm on a well system. I've got a pump in my basement. My well has a new footer as of about 5 years ago, and my pressure tank is new at that same time. Recently, when I've been taking a shower, you'll have the water on, and then the whole house and the water in the whole pressure in the house drops down to zero for maybe 5-10 seconds, and then the pump will kick on, and then everything's normal for like another 12 hours, and then it'll happen again. And it has been getting the pause has been getting longer and longer. So this morning it may have been 25 seconds instead of 10. Any ideas?
Oh my goodness.
Uh-oh, that's not a good response.
Well, there's so many variables at play here that it's difficult with the pressure tank being replaced and the foot valve being replaced. That leaves us to look at the check valve going into the pressure tank to make sure it's holding. In addition to that, there's a pitless adapter right at the point where the well pipe turns to go toward your home about 4 feet or maybe 5 feet underground. There's another connection there at the metal pipe that's sticking up through your ground that may be leaking.
Would that be outside the house?
That's outside. And that may be leaking just a touch enough for air to get in there.
Oh.
And you lose pressure, you lose prime, so they say. Other than that, it might be a crack in the pipe, however deep your pipe is. If it's 200 or 300 feet deep, it might be a crack along that old pipe.
But, I mean, the fact that the time delay has now expanded from 10 to 20, does that mean that at some point it just won't kick on at all?
I'm going to guess that the time delay is coinciding with usage. So maybe Mike is taking a shower in the morning. He notices it. The next time they really use a volume of water will be when they're doing dishes or maybe doing some laundry or something like that or taking another shower. Then that's when they notice it again.
You want to follow up, Mike?
Yeah, I was just wondering if it might have something to do with the pressure tank getting down and the whatever kicks the pump on. Just is there a switch in there that might be the problem? I don't even know really where to start.
It should be like a green or gray box. Typically, it's a green box with a little nut on top. That's your pressure settings. There's a low pressure, high pressure, and it toggles the pump on and off. And maybe that ran out of adjustment, but that's something that has some high voltage running through it, and you're probably better off having a well specialist.
I'll get a plumber up.
Yeah, be careful, man. Be careful. All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. We go over to Laura in Albany. Laura.
Hi, I'm calling because my husband and I are renovating our bathroom. And we are just looking for a really good toilet, so
okay.
I was looking for a recommendation.
All right, now give at least two or three different ones because we're not in the habit of doing endorsements. So just play it.
Okay, so if it's not, or at least what would you look for? Like, so when you go to look, what are you looking for so that you get a really good toilet if you can't give a brand recommendation?
Well, you can give a couple brands as long as you don't give just one and you don't work for the company.
Oh, okay.
Laura, congratulations on your renovation. And I would suggest that you go to one of the local plumbing supply houses rather than a box store. That's where you're going to find a different product. The products at the local box stores are slightly different than the products that you're going to find at your local plumbing supply house. And you'll also find a little bit of difference in knowledge amongst the box store employees versus the plumbing house employees. And I would suggest going to any one of the local ones in Albany or anywhere around
interesting.
There. And I would stay with a national brand name. They tend to have all the money for R&D, research and development, so their products tend to be the most reliable.
Well, I mean, research and development, toilets have been around for quite a while. They haven't changed all that much, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Well, I can tell you, our toilets from the 80s are not very good.
Yeah,
I agree. But now they're all low flow. It's a little tougher.
So they've gotten really creative with the toilet design. to match today's low flow standards. And a lot of manufacturers have done a lot of crazy things with toilets.
Really?
There's some toilets out there that tout they can flush 300 golf balls down in one flush.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that done before.
How about a bowling ball?
I don't know. Maybe. We can try it after the show.
I don't think that's a good idea. Laura, you want to follow up?
So could you give me a couple of brand recommendations?
Sure, give me two or three. I would say Toto and Kohler and American Standard. They would be three of the mainstays.
And is there a big difference between, I mean, I'm just making these numbers up, but say I find a Toto for $800 versus $300. Is it really worth the extra $500 or are you paying for, you know, I don't know, silver buttons or something at that point?
I would talk to the representative at the supply house. And they'll exactly, they'll tell you exactly what the extra cost is there.
And the
for.
Internet is your friend too, depending on how obsessive you want to be. If you look all this stuff up, there are probably endless discussions about just that question. So good luck, Laura.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
Thanks a
You're
lot
welcome.
For the call. That's interesting what you said about box stores and plumbing supply houses. Now, I've replaced a couple of toilets, got it at the box store. It's by one of the brands, you know, the brands you mentioned are at the box store.
Sure.
What's really different about the models that you'll find in consumer stores?
Small things.
Yeah.
Small things that ultimately bring the cost down. And in my opinion, the product is now different. It is not the same. It's not of the same quality. But that's my opinion.
Very
interesting.
Let's go back to the phones here. Alan Ayers is our guest from Crisafulli Brothers Plumbing today on the program. Kathy in Newburgh. Kathy.
I just wanted to comment on the previous caller's comment about the water pressure going down, and you mentioned replacing the aerator. And both my mom and I had this happen when our plumbing was shut off or our water was shut off. Depending on the kind of faucet you have and the kind of hoses and whatnot that you hook up to the water source, there can be three screens that you have to clean, and we both did that and it worked like a dream, but we had to get to all three of them for it to work.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much. And you know, there might be a red van in your future.
Okay. Oh, that's a job. Oh, that's nice. Well, good job, Kathy.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551, and we go to Ross in New Windsor. Ross, you're on.
Hi. Thanks, Alan and Ray. First to Laura about toilets, I encourage her to buy a dual flush toilet for her new one, and Kohler makes a pretty good one.
What's a dual flush?
Right. I mean, what?
What do you mean dual flush? What do you have, two bowls there? What are you talking?
No. The handle is split.
Ah,
so you can have a small for liquid waste and a bigger flush for solid waste.
Pretty fancy, great, Ross. All right, go ahead with your question.
Yes. I have a shower unit from a house built in 1985. There are two control knobs for hot and cold. You can put, to get a nice warm shower, you can put the hot open pretty far, but then you barely have to crack the cold, and then you're fine-tuning it for about 3 minutes until you really get the temperature right. Can you determine what might be going on there?
Most likely it is the faucet design itself. If 1985 is right when pressure balancing started to become popular, and maybe a faucet that you have installed isn't the pressure balancing type. Faucets today have an automatic balancing valve to make sure there's equal amounts of hot and cold water coming in.
Okay, so nothing to be concerned about.
No,
we've suffered through with it for many years.
Yeah, me too, Ross. Yep. I know. I feel your pain. Yep.
Yeah.
Takes a long time to get it just right. Well, thanks for the call. Number's 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. So they have dual levered toilets? Do people actually order these things?
And you didn't think there was advances in toilet technology.
I stand corrected. You know, I saw a TV ad yesterday or the day before. I really want to try one of these things. It's a shower head that has two. One that goes right over your head and one that goes at an angle. That's pretty fancy. Do you need a lot more water pressure for that?
No, just volume. Pressure's fine. Just a little bit more water volume, some extra piping.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never do it. It's just one of those things I thought about. Let's go back to the phones now. And Helen in Saratoga. Helen, you're on.
Hi. I have a...
Oh, boy. You're on a cell phone, huh?
10 years old. Can you hear me?
You got to start again, Helen. Yeah, you hit a dead spot.
Tankless hot water heater. It's about 10 years old. It's a and I used to buy their spark plug, my Volkswagen. And we had the same.
Okay. Hey, Helen, time out here. Helen, your signal's bad. I hear that you're driving. Let's put you on hold, and we'll take a break, and maybe you'll drive to a drive to a spot that's working out well. Zach, the engineer, I'm going to try to do this right. We'll put Helen on hold, and let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alan Ayers is our guest. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. And Alan Ayers is our guest today. We talk plumbing. Alan is vice president of Chris Afully Brothers. Now, let's see if Helen on the cell phone in the car is in a better spot. Are you there, Helen? Yeah, did I do something wrong? Let's try it again. Hello, Helen. I think we lost Helen. Or maybe I've done something horribly wrong here. You know, it's... Are you there? Okay, well, I apologize to Helen for what I'm about to do. And goodbye, Helen. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Steve in Westfield. Steve, are you on?
Yes, hello. I am going to replace an old H.B. Smith boiler. And in doing so, I would like to change my domestic hot water. And I'm debating whether to go with indirect system or another hot water heater. Any recommendations?
Boy, that's a challenge with most people in your position. It really comes down to your personal peace of mind. With an indirect, you're using the hot water from your boiler to heat a tank of hot water and supply your house with hot water for showering and washing dishes, etc. The problem with that is if your boiler's down, you have neither heat nor hot water. With a water heater, you have an additional appliance that could fail at some point or another, but you do have the comfort of redundancy, and you can at least have hot water if you don't have heat, if there's a problem, or maybe there's a repair issue needed or something like that. Either one is fantastic. It depends on the efficiency rating of the boiler you put in versus the efficiency rating.
Well, right now I'm using an old H.B. Smith that was steam converted to hydronic and four zones, and it's old. So yeah. I'm going to go to a condensing boiler.
If you go to a condensing boiler, I would suggest an indirect then. That's going to be the most efficient and economical for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Our guest today is Alan Ayers from Chris Afully Brothers. These two emails came in while we were waiting for Helen. This one's from Wayne in Stone Ridge. Wayne writes, I'm redoing my bathroom, and my toilet flange is about an eighth inch below the new tile floor. Do I need to put in something like a toilet flange extender to bring the flange higher, or can I just double up on the wax seal?
Well, thank you, but you definitely want to put a tile spacer in that flange.
Yeah,
they sell them at most hardware stores, big box stores. It's an eighth inch or a quarter inch thick. It mounts right on top of the existing flange. Then you can just use the one wax ring. You want to avoid putting too much wax underneath your toilet, for sure.
But you don't want to have it too high either.
Not too high either.
Now, some of the ones I've seen in the store, and I've been doing this recently, is they're not wax. The ones that I've seen now are not wax. It's, I forget the brand. There's a couple of different brands. But they usually come with one thick ring and then a thin one that if you need to add that, you can use that.
Call me old-fashioned, but I like the old wax rings. It molds a lot nicer to the porcelain.
Yes, and it sets.
You can feel it set. It feels confident.
But if you have those with ample poundage, they will become deformed after a while.
Correct, yes.
And so that can be an issue.
Yep.
So if there's ample poundage in your household, think about it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Laura in New Paltz. Hello, Laura.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for this very informative call. I just have a simple question about a radiant floor heating. I have it in my house, and it's heaven. It really is wonderful.
Ah.
But I have two questions about it. The first is, it's covered with carpet, and I'm assuming, I just want to make sure the carpet doesn't get in the way of the heat. And then my second question is I do a lot of craft work and other work, and I'm always working on the floor. I have all my books and things spread out on the floor, and I feel like when I have things on the floor, I'm blocking the heat from coming up. And also, you know, when it gets really cold, I sleep down here in this room, and I put my futon on the floor, and then that's also blocking the floor. So am I blocking the heat from coming up by putting things on the floor?
I think a reasonable amount of things on the floor and carpet definitely does not affect the heat
okay.
at all. A reasonable level of amount of objects on the floor is actually helping. They become radiators themselves.
There you go.
Perfectly fine. Sofas, chairs, some throw rugs. That's perfectly fine. If it's cluttered knee-high, or maybe the futon, I would say that's probably a little bit more than you want to put on the floor.
Okay, but is the carpet blocking the floor?
No, not at all. It's fantastic for it.
Okay.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a good day. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, could I get a pan full of soup and warm it up on the radiant floor?
Probably not.
No?
Probably not. It would get to room temperature.
Yeah, we could do sous vide or something on that thing.
Yeah.
This one's from Dennis. Dennis writes, I live in Clifton Park, and recently I had a situation where my water softener let go, and fortunately I was home and able to isolate it. When the water company came for a visit, I learned my water pressure is normally 90, I guess, pounds. I don't know the pound sign. Do you think that I need to install a regulator? What is the proper maximum water pressure?
I would definitely install a regulator.
90's too much?
90's too much.
Okay.
Most homes and plumbing fixtures are designed for 60 to 80 pounds, 70 being dead smack in the center of that spectrum, and that's ideal. 90 pounds is going to definitely be a maintenance issue for any equipment that's affected by the water.
Okay. Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's see who has been waiting longest. It looks like Fontaine in Hudson. Fontaine, you're on.
Oh, hey, thank you so much.
Sure.
I have a question related to heating. I have a, what do you call this kind of house? I can't remember, but anyway, upstairs, the upstairs was not renovated when I bought the house, and I wanted to use it as a studio, so a painting studio. So I put in baseboard electric heat, which turns out to be not very efficient and really costly.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I have a basement which is usable, which ultimately I'd like to rent out, and it has just a lone propane heater, which I need to replace. And I had been thinking about putting that kind of heating in that it looks like an air conditioning unit up in the wall and can do AC and heat. Do you recommend those, or what would you recommend if I wanted to replace the heating system in my upstairs studio and install something in my basement?
So it's a forced hot air unit, one of those two-piece units where you have the compressor outside and then you hang the unit on the wall. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't have that. I've heard of those, and I wondered if that would be my best choice in trying to get something to heat my upstairs and my basement or what. The rest of my house is heated by a furnace, propane burning furnace. So am I better off tapping into that or replacing it with the kind of thing you're describing or what?
Okay. Alan.
So you have a few options. Your upstairs studio, I would suggest installing a heat pump, which is what I believe you're talking about. They sometimes refer to them as mini splits or ductless units.
Yeah.
They have a version that's a heat pump version as well. With a reversing valve, it turns from air conditioning to heating.
Cool.
They're super efficient. They're very minimally invasive to a home. You can pretty much install them nearly just about anywhere. There's a little bit of a cost factor, but at least you'll recoup that in operating cost. They're super efficient.
Nice.
Okay.
And as your basement goes, you may want to replace that standalone furnace. Or you could look into replacing your whole house furnace with a larger system and additional ductwork to serve all three areas. Your main house, your studio, and your basement.
Okay. All right. That would get really expensive, but it might actually make more sense.
Right. Right. Again, it comes down to your personal preference and situation.
My preferences in my pocketbook are not always.
I'm with you there. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. And we go now to Bob in Richmond, Mass. Bob, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have an oil-based hot water system in the house. It has five zones. There are two zones on the lower level, two zones on the main floor level, and only a single zone on the upper bedroom level. When I leave the house for vacation or travel for business, I turn the heat down, and when I come back, everything heats up except the bedroom level, and I'm suspicious it's just too long a loop having only one zone up there. But is there anything that can be done to increase the heat output by putting on a higher speed pump or something like that that would increase the amount of heat getting up to the second floor bedrooms?
Bob, do you have radiators or baseboard heat along the bottom of the wall?
Okay. In the bedroom level, it's baseboard heat along the bottom of the wall.
Okay, fantastic. And in the rest of the house, do you have radiators? The cast iron,
no,
old-fashioned cast iron?
No, it's mostly baseboard, except half of the main floor is radiant heat in the kitchen breakfast room.
Okay, so I would think that the amount of baseboard heat you have in that bedroom area is probably much different relative to the baseboards in the other rooms. For instance, a room by 10 by 10, you may want an 8-foot piece of baseboard, and other rooms in your homes may have 12 foot in that same size area. So it's just taking longer. You may want to also check those vents of that baseboard for pet hair. If you have pets and they spend a lot of time up there, you could be affecting the heating output of the convection of those baseboards. I've seen that happen, quite honestly, okay, more times than I want to mention.
All right.
All right, so we'll take a look at. There's no pets in the house, but there were historically, so it could go back 10 years.
Mm.
You could. You might want to grab your shop vac and vacuum them out.
Oh, that's always a fun job, too, Bob.
Yeah, vacuum out the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if not, then you can extend the baseboard unit in the room by opening up the wall and replumbing a bit, right?
Right. You could for sure.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. You know who we haven't talked to in a while? Helen in Saratoga Springs. Hello, Helen, you're on.
Hello, I'm stationary on the Northway, and I'm in a good, I've got several bars.
Okay.
My question is, we have a tankless hot water heater that we bought about 10 years ago, major name brand, but we were going to save all kinds of gas. We're replacing a gas hot water heater. But it is so tricky to get the water temperature right. I felt very bad for the guy who was talking about 3 minutes to get the water shower temperature, but it's at least 3, maybe 5. But even worse is sometimes it will just cut out. If you ever back off on the temperature in the shower or at the kitchen sink, it's the kiss of death, and it goes to ice cold.
Ooh.
I mean, icier cold that I knew it would. So it's kind of like there's only two different things you can get out of it, super hot or ice cold.
Okay, how would
and
we
it's
fix
the
that?
Shower, it's, yeah, and now the plumber that installed it, after several months of dealing with it, again, 10 years ago, said, oh, you need to put a tank in line, like a 10-gallon, hot water heater in line, and that'll act as a reservoir. And I'm like, I wanted to get rid of the whole pilot light and save gas, and it does save gas. It saves a lot of gas.
Yeah.
But washing dishes in the sink and taking showers is a tricky business.
Helen, I'm sorry you're going through that. And can I ask you how often you've had it maintained by somebody, a certified professional?
Of the first 8 years we had it, I'd say nobody looked at it. And then we were undergoing some home renovations and noticed that there was a little water on the floor underneath of it, and they replaced the heat exchanger. And that was a warranty repair, except the labor cost about as much as a new tank hot water heater, installed would cost. It cost about $1,500.
Right.
So it has a new heat exchanger, but and somebody's looked at it, of course, at that point, but that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say your best bet, it's probably a flow valve, a flow sensor. Mm-hmm. If you turned the volume of your kitchen sink down too far where it's barely, you're just rinsing your hands or something, it'll stay cold. Yeah. It won't even sense the flow.
Yeah.
And that can be fixed with either a new sensor or, honestly, you probably need a major service on
really?
That water heater. Yeah, those water heaters are
those
pretty,
tankless water heaters?
They're pretty finicky.
Really? And she's only had it 10 years.
Well, most of your heating HVAC equipment really should be looked at once a year. And
okay.
I would definitely suggest getting on a, like, maybe even every other year cycle of having that thing completely, you know, doing a preventative maintenance on it.
There you go.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
You know, why is it, speaking of the life expectancy of water heaters, why is it that they'll say, oh, you got a 15-year one here, and it never lasts 15 years? What's the deal?
The deal is government regulations on water temperatures. Pretty simple.
That doesn't sound simple.
Our water heater from 1984, we could send out the door, install it in our customers' homes, and turn that thing up to 140 degrees. And after 137 degrees, it kills all the bacteria.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Everybody knew. If you turn the hot water on, it's going to be hot.
Yep.
But then we had to regulate that down to about 120 degrees because there was lawsuits and this, that, the other thing.
So it's all about blaming the government.
That's what I'm about.
You get that a lot on public radio. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Lori in Albany. Lori, you're on.
Yes, hi, thank you. I had a quick question for you. We put in a new bathroom last year, and we had our builder do some of the work for us, and he was unhappy with the faucets that I picked out for both the shower and the sink. They were name brand, a high-end name brand. He asked me where I bought them. I told him it was a big box store, and he told me that name brands make a lesser version of the same product to sell at a big box store for a lesser price, and we're going to be building one more time, and I'd like to know if that statement is true or false.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely true.
Okay. That's good to know. You answered my question. Thank
you very
much.
You're welcome, Lori.
Thank you very much. Over to, quickly now, Jonathan in Montgomery. Jonathan, you're on.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
I have about a foot-wide puddle in my kitchen, which is underneath a light fixture, which is underneath a toilet that I believe is the issue. What should the first step be with that kind of a problem?
First thing I would do is go upstairs to the bathroom and get on my hands and knees and observe. And a lot of times you'll find water could be seeping from the tank to bowl gasket, could be seeping from the supply line on the toilet. It could be any number of things. But the first thing I would do is get up there, hands and knees, flashlight, spend some time just really concentrating on all your plumbing fixtures without touching or flushing anything. And then
I do have some water that's around the bowl at the bottom.
Oh.
On the floor.
Okay, so what I would do is probably flush while I'm focused in on that area and see if it even moves, if it wiggles, if it gets larger, the water, right?
Yep.
Right. If you see that move a little bit, it's definitely the toilet issue. Again, sometimes I've seen that same thing you're describing and have it be the shower just splashing over onto the tile floor and the tile floor leaking.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
All right. Now, we only have about 30 seconds here, so let's very quickly go to Ben in Red Hook. Oops, wrong one. We'll go to Jeff in Berkshires. Jeff, you're on. You only have about 15 seconds here.
Okay, I have an Acer older spa jet tub. They sealed it all in. I'm trying to figure out where the motor is because it stopped working. Any ideas?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, I couldn't. There's so many ways a builder could have buried
motor.
Well, we're done. Actually, Ben, and I apologize to Ben, but I hit the wrong button. He wants to know how to determine if a well is shallow or deep, and if shallow, is it usable?
Shallow usually has a pump in your basement.
Ah.
You'll see the motor right in your basement. That's a shallow well, and otherwise you'll just see a pipe coming in your home to a extral tank or pressure tank.
Well, we're done. Thank you for being here. Support comes from the Discovery Center, presenting March programs featuring full moon and discovery walks, science lectures, and exploration into the worlds of turtles and fishers, albanypinebush.org. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, accepting new clients, careersintransitionllc.com. Studio KTM Organic Hair Salon, featuring individual attention in a private environment with cutter and colorist Kristen Marquette using Naturalique organic products, studioktm.com. And Capital Roots, making fresh local produce accessible to Capital Region neighborhoods. Healthy, affordable food should be a right, not a privilege. CapitalRoots.org for more. Thanks again to Alan Ayers of Crisafulli Brothers for joining us. Thank you for listening and for the great calls. Zach Malloy, the engineer. Phones answered by Amber Sickles. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Ron Scharf returns for Pets und Vets. We'll have some news in a moment.